My name is James. When I was a kid, people used to call me and my brother John the Sons of Thunder. Actually, we were the Sons of Zebedee, and I think some of my dad's workers gave us that nickname. My dad was an entrepreneur. He grew up in occupied Israel. Rome made it hard for us Jews here in Israel to get ahead in life. But my dad worked hard, he loved God, he followed God, and he got a successful fishing business. It was pretty good. He had a lot of boats and a bunch of workers, and it was a fairly successful endeavor of his. Don't get me wrong. Dad didn't believe in nepotism. He made us work hard. We had to work the business. Dad would always say, "James, John, the world belongs to the bold." So we worked the fishing business, and I liked it. It was good, hard work. And I think some of the co-workers, my dad's workers, called me and John the Sons of Thunder because some people don't like young men being ambitious and trying to get ahead in life. You know what I mean? And let me tell you something. Fishing is the most beautiful thing you can ever do. Don't believe me? Go out fishing early in the morning when there's no wind. The water is perfect glass. And watch as the sunrise comes up and is perfectly reflected in the ocean. It's beautiful. Or go fishing late at night when there's a gentle breeze and watch as the moon is turned into 1,000 gems right on the ocean water. It's beautiful. Nothing else like it in all creation. Nothing's more beautiful than that. So anyways, I thought I already told you, my dad loved God, he followed God. And as I watched growing up, dad's fishing business was expanded. It grew. God blessed my dad. So this is the way I see it. This is the way I see it. God wants certain things out of me, and if I do them, sometimes he gives me what I want, right? So, that's why 2 years ago, when this Jesus came around and he called to me and my brother John on the boat, it seemed to me a good idea to go follow him, right? I mean, if I follow the Messiah, God's forever king, and I follow after him, and I do what God wants me to do, just like God blessed my dad's fishing business, maybe God will bless my place in Israel, right? And I can get a little bit ahead. So that's the way I see it. But don't get me wrong. I still don't understand everything about this Jesus. For example, this just happened. I've been following him for 2 years. I've been seeing all these miracles he's been doing. I've been hearing him preach. I just don't understand him. This is what happened just recently. We're on our way to Jerusalem, and we're somewhere in Judea, and Jesus has been working all day long. He's healing people, he's making the blind people see, there's these religious leaders who are coming trying to test him with tough theological questions, and it's really hard. It's really hard. And so Jesus, he's been working all day long, he's exhausted, and then all of a sudden these little brats start coming, and they're trying to like play with him and do all sorts of stuff. And so me and John and the other disciples, we start trying to shoo him away, because, you know, he don't have time for you, the kids. Jesus is building the kingdom of heaven. Nobody's got time for little kids. Anyway, so these little ankle biters are all grabbing Jesus this way and that way, and they're trying to do all this stuff with him. And so I grab one by the waist, one of the bigger ones, and I grab him, and I go and I throw him away from Jesus into the dirt. What? I was gentle. So I go to grab another one, and just as I do, Jesus starts yelling at us. And he says, "Do not stop the little children from coming to me. Don't prevent them. Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to ones such as these." Okay, Jesus. Plunk. You're the boss. See what I mean? I don't understand him. Who wants to build a kingdom filled with little brats, right? Come on. Who wants little children filling up their kingdom? Doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand them. So just then, the crowd that's around him starts to part. And there's someone coming through. And as this person gets closer, all of a sudden, all of us disciples recognize who it is. It's awesome. And I'm not just talking about us 12 disciples. No, I mean all the disciples that followed Jesus. The men, the women, the young, the old. All of us knew who it was. It was Raphael ben Reuben. It was Raphael ben Reuben. What do you mean you don't know who he is? He's like the most famous guy in all of Israel. Everybody knew who he was. Everybody loved him. Everybody wanted to be him. First of all, this is what was amazing about Raphael Ben Reuben. First of all, he loved God. He absolutely loved God, and not just with his lips. No. He loved God with his actions. God blessed him with wealth, with money, with influence, with power, with fame. Everybody knew who he was. He had sheep and cattle and land. And he didn't use that stuff for just himself. He used it to help the poor. He used it to build synagogues. He used it to help people build farms. And he used it to do projects over in God's temple in Jerusalem. It was amazing. Everybody loved him. Everybody loved Raphael Ben Reuben. He was the greatest person in the world. He was like my age. I wanted to be him. Everybody wanted to be him. He was so awesome. And so he's coming up to us, and he's coming to our group, and he's smiling. And he looks all excited, and I'm thinking, wow, he's going to join up with us. And all of a sudden, I didn't even care that Jesus just yelled at me. Man, can you imagine if a guy like Raphael joined our group, what a man with that influence could do for us? Could you imagine what his money could do for us? Yeah, first thing I'm doing is all the disciples. Every last one of us, we all get donkeys. No more of this walking around everywhere we go. Sick and tired of it. So anyways, Raphael comes up and he goes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus responds to him and says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you want to have life, keep the commandments." And Raphael says, "Which ones?" And so Jesus says, and now don't quote me on this one. If you're going to quote somebody, you quote that Matthew guy. He used to be a tax collector, and those people, they remember everything. Anyways, Jesus says, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Raphael says, "I have kept all of these. What do I still lack?" Now I'm going to tell you, I have not kept all of these. And if my brother John, or Peter for that matter, came up and said, "I've kept all of these," I would call either of them a liar to their faces, right in public. But Raphael, I believed him. He was the best Israel had to offer. I couldn't imagine what this guy could lack. But Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Go, sell all your possessions, give to the poor, then you will have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me." Sell everything and give it to the poor, I thought to myself. Sell everything and give it to the poor? That didn't make any sense. Raphael already helped out the poor a lot. And you know what? Raphael could help the poor more than the poor could help themselves. Hello? That's why they were poor to begin with, right? And then, I don't know, maybe Raphael could sell his stuff and give it to maybe the disciples? Maybe the work of the Messiah? That would make sense. I didn't understand Jesus. But I'd seen this thing before. Jesus says something weird, and then the other person gets upset, and then they start fighting and arguing. So I just stood back, and I was getting ready to watch Jesus and Raphael get into a verbal match and start fighting and everything. I was looking forward to it. But Raphael just looked to the ground. He just sat there with his hands at his side, looking at the ground. He was staring at the ground for so long, I thought maybe something was on the ground, right? So I'm like looking, like, no, there's nothing there. And then all of a sudden, I hear this whimper and a sniffle. He was crying. No, he was weeping, like his mother had just died or something. I couldn't believe what was going on. And he's standing there, and I'm watching him, and he's trying to, like, gather himself together so he can say something. But he can't because he's crying too hard. You ever cry like that where you're crying so hard you can't talk? And he couldn't talk, so he finally just, like, gave up, and he starts walking away as fast as he could. And I think I overheard him saying, as he's walking away, I can't. I can't. Some time ago, a few years ago, before Jesus, I was at home. And I had this shirt that I liked, but it was torn. And listen to me, I'm no tailor, but my wife was out of town. So I wanted to fix it. And how hard can it be to fix a shirt, right? So I go through her stuff, and I find the needle and the thread and everything, and I get it all together, and I'm trying to put the thread through the needle. And so I'm trying to get it in there, and I try like 100 times, and I can't do it. And finally, it's all frayed, so I put it in my mouth and bite off a piece, and then I start keep going, and I just can't do it. So as I'm getting frustrated, I'm getting more, I stab myself in the finger with the needle. And it's stuck in there. I'm about to take it out, but I said, wait a minute, maybe I can do this, maybe I can make this work. So I'm holding the needle up to the light, and I'm like trying to get it through there, but that's not working either. So finally, I pull it out, and I'm bleeding all over the place, and I take the needle and the thread, and I'm just randomly trying to get it in there, and I just can't do it. And sometimes I did, but I was moving too fast, you know, so I pull right back out. Ah! So I'm getting all frustrated, and I'm like flying my hands around, getting, ah, I can't, and then I stuck myself in the tongue. So I go into town and I find my mom and I made her do it. I tell you that because after Raphael left crying, Jesus called all of us disciples together. All of us, the 12, the men, the women, the old and the young, we're all together. And he said something incredible. And he said to us, I tell you the truth, it is very hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Do you know how hard it is to thread a needle to begin with just a normal piece of thread? Do you know how hard it is? You can't get through a camel through the eye of a needle. It's absolutely impossible. It's incredible. What is Jesus saying? Raphael was the best that we had to offer. And if he couldn't get into heaven, who could? How could anyone be saved if the best this world has to offer can't make it into the kingdom of heaven? How can anyone be saved if the best of us cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven? So I look around at the other disciples, and everyone is just, they are stunned and sad and scared and angry. Raphael was a hero. And so I'm frustrated, and I just speak up, and I say to Jesus, well, then who can be saved? And Jesus looks at all of us, and I think he made time to make eye contact with each and every one of us. And he says, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I still didn't understand. How can anyone be saved if the best of us cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven? It made no sense. Peter spoke up and he said to Jesus, look, we've left everything to follow you. What's there going to be for us? And he was right. Some of us, like Matthew, had given up an enormous amount of wealth to follow Jesus. And others of us lost our houses, our homes, to follow him. Some of our parents disowned us. Some of our spouses left us. Our children wanted nothing to do with us. All because we followed Jesus. Jesus came and he put his arm on Peter, and I think Andrew was next to him. And Jesus said, I assure you, in the Messianic age, when the Son of Man is seated on his glorious throne, those of you who follow me will sit on 12 thrones and rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. And again I say to you, those of you who have followed me and have had to leave home and brother, sister, father, mother, children, or field because of my name, you will receive 100 times what you've lost. Because I tell you, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And that was it. That was the answer. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow the Messiah. Follow the King. And the King will bring his followers into the kingdom. You don't get into the kingdom by banging on the doors. You don't get into the kingdom by your own act of virtue. No, you get into the kingdom by following the one who rules the kingdom. You follow the King. Follow Jesus and you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Follow Jesus and you will be saved. Follow Jesus and you will have eternal life. How can anyone be saved when the best of us cannot enter into eternal life, into the kingdom of God? Anyone can be saved by following Jesus. Anyone can be saved by following Jesus. Look, I already told you, I don't understand them. I don't understand everything about them. But there are some things I do know. And I have seen a glimmer. I have seen a glimpse of his glory. And that glimpse was more beautiful than all of the sunrises and all of the sunsets and all of the moons reflected in the ocean and all the flowers and all the fields and all the beauty and all of creation. I don't know much and I don't know everything, but I do know that he's good. And I do know that he's the only light in this dark world. And I do know that whatever I had to give up or lose along the way, it's worth it. He's worth it. It's worth following him. I looked around at the other disciples. And they weren't other disciples. They weren't just other disciples. I realized they were my brothers and my sisters and my mothers. Not bound by blood, but bound by something deeper. And I realized that I was starting to live in the kingdom of heaven right then and there. Just a moment, just a glimpse, just the beginning. How can anyone be saved? How can you be saved when the best the world has to offer cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven? You can be saved by following Jesus. You can be saved by following Jesus. Even when the best this world has to offer can't enter in, you can be saved by following Jesus. Look, I don't have it all together. I still think in my mind that Raphael is a hero and that if I follow God and do what he wants, he will give me what I want instead of what I need. But I do know whoever follows Jesus can have eternal life. It's worth whatever you have to give up to follow him. It's worth it.